This is the Fleming Foundation Summer Symposium 2021, Living Well in a Dying Age, with a lecture from Dr. Thomas Fleming entitled Love in the Ruins.
About 90 years ago, a German politician was conferring with his advisors on the distribution of the party's two groups of militants, the Sturmabteilung and the Schutzstaffel. The leader had been an art student who was denied entrance into the Viennese Academy. He had an eye for visual significance. And he sent one of his SA leaders, Martin Bormann, out to get a map. In the meantime, the future Reichskanzler used a religious map of Germany to make his point. Do you see the Roman frontier, the limes, he asked, and proceeded to trace out the boundary between Romanized and non-Roman Germany. To the south, he said, and southwest of this line, Germany is predominantly Catholic. To the north and northeast, it is Protestant. The leader then launched into a lecture on German history as a conflict between these two sections, divided by the Roman frontier. Like all historical generalizations, the Führer's big theory leaves out a great deal that's important, but in essence, he was right about the significance of the Roman limes that runs right through Germany and the Low Countries. It was, and still is, a dividing line between two Europes. And if you're wondering why I begin the program with a reference to Adolf Hitler, you'll have to stick it out to the bitter end. If we look at a map, we could see that Italy, Greece, Spain, France, Switzerland and Austria, and southern Germany, and even England are Roman or Greco-Roman, while Scandinavia, Iceland, Scotland, much of the Netherlands and northern Germany are beyond the pale in so many ways. Our interest for this week will be focused on what lies within the Roman Empire. And tonight I want to talk about why the western part of that empire fell in the late 5th century. Among academic historians today, the most common answer to that question is that, well, it never really fell at all, but it went into a gradual transition phase during the 4 centuries between the death of Theodosius, the great Roman emperor, and the coronation of Charlemagne as Roman emperor in the West in 800 AD. To those who persist in thinking that something significant might just have happened around 476 AD, academic leftists will insist it was basically a good thing when an empire based on bigotry, greed, and oppression yielded to the power of virtuous barbarians. In recent years, historian Peter Wells has argued that Rome's population, the city, did not plunge in late antiquity, and the city therefore continued to thrive. He conveniently overlooks the disastrous decline in population over the course of the 6th century. If we speak in really rough terms, just trying to take averages from what seem to be a consensus historians, the population went from a height of nearly 1.5 million in the 2nd century AD to less than 1 million in the 3rd and sank by the mid-5th century to 500,000. And fell rapidly after the Vandal, Sack, and Gothic Wars down to perhaps 200,000 or less in the time of Pope Gregory the Great, that is around 600 AD. And at the millennium, when somebody else I'll be talking about at the end of the week, the Emperor Otto III was trying to restore Rome to its imperial glory, it had shrunk to 30,000 inhabitants. Clearly, something must have happened to go from 1.5 million to 30,000. Professor Wells points to the impressive palace Charlemagne built in Aachen as proof that civilization had persisted, but he neglects to mention that the building materials were looted from the vastly more beautiful and magnificent city of Ravenna. He also cites the evidence of beautiful objects in German graves. But surely he must be aware that the very rich of any age, even when they're African dictators or Arab sheiks, can usually afford to buy luxury goods from those who produce them. In fact, the material life of ordinary people in the Western Empire, the poor in particular, plummeted drastically in the course of the late 5th and early 6th centuries. The academic leftists find a strange ally in their argument.